B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Free agency is going to be a whisper for the next 3 years. There are a few people that I like better in baseball than Mookie Betts. I thought he was going to make between $350 and $400 million. He'd be lucky to get up to $250 in free agency this coming winter if they play. And it's just a reality of the economics. And it's true in almost every business.
Hey, hour number two, Felger and Mads. Mike's out today. Jim Murray's alongside. Joe Murray in to give us headlines. It's Peter Gammons, who was on 670 The Score in Chicago a couple of days ago talking about Mookie Betts, his decision to hardline the Red Sox in negotiations and where he is now. And I just thought this was worth touching on because I think there is a tendency in this amidst this pandemic to look at all the decisions going on in sports and thinking that this is just a matter of getting teams back on the field. They'll finish out the seasons. They'll start next year late, and that'll be business as usual. Murray, do you think that that's what's going to happen, Jim Murray?
He'll end up getting the money that he was looking for?
No. That once teams get back on the field, that things will basically be normal and will stay that way.
No. Every business is going to be affected going forward. No.
How can it, Mads? I mean, everyone's going to be wearing masks. There's going to be all sorts of things happening and delayed. No, they can't even hit the batting cages inside.
So we haven't talked a lot about this, and I think it's worth revisiting because Mookie, boy, did Mookie make a massive mistake. Massive, massive mistake in retrospect. Okay, and I'm admitting that it's in retrospect. Joe Murray, let me ask you, do you think Mookie Betts, where were you on the whole Mookie Betts thing? Because I don't know. Were you pissed that he left? Do you think the team should have ponied up for him? Do you think that he was asking for too much? Where were you on it?
Well, I thought there was something to it when they made the trade and then held back a little bit. Like, all right, are we making the right move here? I thought there was something to it. I think they like him, but in the end, they thought that he just didn't want to be here. So they moved on from him. My thing is, in hindsight, if they held on to him a little bit more here or a little bit longer, and who knows what happened, obviously, but maybe they could have got him at a better offer. But the whole thing
would
is...
Would you have paid him 12 years and $420 million?
No.
Okay, so then you're trading him.
Yep, but it could have been at the deadline. I mean, look at the Manny Machado trade a year ago. You know, and it looks essentially like this year is going to be a bridge year.
Okay, so the trade's a separate thing. We'll find out how they did on the trade when these prospects... pan out, Jeter, Downs, and Verdugo, most notably. Those are the two big ones. I think the Red Sox made the right move at the time. I think that more and more time goes by, it looks like they made the right move. First of all, Mookie Betts is not worth the money to me. Okay, I'm not paying him that contract. And now, I think Peter Gammons is dead on. Mookie Betts didn't just screw the Red Sox, if that's what you believe, and I'm not saying he did, but if you perceive Mookie Betts to be someone who screwed the Red Sox, he didn't just screw the Red Sox, he screwed himself. Mookie Betts isn't going to get the same contract now. The financials are all different, 100% different. He was asking for 12 and 420 at the start of last spring. 12 and 420. Depending on the reports you believe, or whether you believe me, the number the Red Sox were offering was somewhere between 290 and 310. My understanding was it was 290. I've seen reports that it's 310. Whatever. Split the difference. Let's call it 300 for 10 years, $30 million per. He turned it down. According to Gammons, he's not going to get that now on the market. Now, look, Mookie Betts will be a free agent again at the end of the year. So you'll say, okay, fine, he'll hit the market. The market this winter is not going to be what it would have been had things stayed normal. No shot. Nobody, after losing the revenue that the owners are losing, nobody's going to drop a 12-year, $420 million contract in front of Mookie Betts. He'd be lucky if he gets 10 and 350. I don't think he's getting that. I think Gammons is right. I think the numbers now have come way, way down, and Mookie Betts might be looking at less than $300 million, which means he cost himself by being greedy. He could have stayed in a good market, with a team with resources, with good players around him, in a place that cares. He didn't want that because he wanted the extra $100 million, which you say, well, that's nothing to sneeze at. If you're already making $300 million, what's the effing difference? What's the effing difference?
All right, so you get to say to your peers that I'm the highest paid player in baseball or the second behind Mike Trout. I think that that matters to those guys. After you have that kind of money, I'm with you. Like, I mean, it's all kind of moot at that point. But you know that they like the old hog measuring contest of I'm the highest paid player or in the top three.
Oh, he porked himself badly. Porked himself. And you know what? So fine, play it out. Well, you know, Mookie goes back on the market. He takes a one-year deal this year. He plays 2021, and then he hits the market again. You think the market's going to be any better then? Because I don't.
No. No, it's not going to be for years.
Right, and the CBA's up, too, which means that he might be inclined to wait out to see what the CBA is. After this whole thing, you think owners are just going to give in at the CBA now after the hit that they've taken in the middle of this thing? And I know the players have taken a hit, too. But the owners have taken a hit. Let's not totally neglect that. Which is going to get me to Chris Russo here in a minute, and we'll play that. I'm just going to give Jimmy Stewart, our producer, a heads up that this Mad Dog sound, Mad Dog to me has nailed it. But again, we'll get to that in a second. Mookie. Mookie could have had $300 million. He could have had $300 million. He wanted to go to market. A pandemic hit. Bad luck. No two ways about it. But this is the whole point, that once you want to go to market, you introduce variables that weren't there otherwise. So now you're taking a chance. Take the money now or take it later. Me, $300 million, I'd take it now. That's life-altering, family-altering money for generations. But no, Mookie wanted to hold out for $350 or $400. Now he's going to cost himself another $50 on top of it or somewhere in that area and end up around $250 million. Stupid. Stupid. He made a stupid decision,
yeah, but
if you ask me.
You're also leaving out the part that I don't think he liked being here, and he wanted to go somewhere else. And I'm a believer, you bet on yourself. You bet on yourself. He ran into extremely unfortunate timing with this hell pandemic, and if that wasn't going to happen, he absolutely would have got the money he was looking for from the Dodgers or another team. Nobody saw this coming, so nobody in any avenue of business. A lot of people are going to get screwed by this. I just saw an article the other day. It's Skip Bayless, who we all know, makes $25 million a year. His contract is ending with Fox. He's going to get porked. He's not going to make that kind of money on his next contract. Like, this is going to happen to tons of people in different avenues of life. You always got to bet on yourself, though. I don't blame him for going out and, you know, trying to get that money.
Yeah, there's a point, though, Murray, where you say, you know, I've got enough. And my situation is good. And Mookie Betts here had a good situation. And he claims he liked it here. So he's going to cost himself a ton of money in this whole thing. And again, play it out. I'm willing to bet when this is all over, Mookie Betts doesn't end up with more than like a 6 or 8 year contract tops. Because you know what's going to happen? He's going to sign a 1 year deal this offseason. He might sign a 1 year deal the next offseason. And then you know what's going to happen? Mookie Betts all of a sudden is going to be in his 30s. And teams are going to look at him and say, well, why would I give him a 10 or 12 year deal now when I wouldn't give him one 2 years ago? Trust me, he costs himself tens of millions of dollars, maybe $100 million or more, with the decision he made. Just colossally stupid mistake that he ended up making in the long run. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, how is it stupid, though? Like, Bryce Harper went out and like got a ton of money. And maybe he doesn't want to be in Philadelphia forever, but like, I don't know. It worked for him. Like, how could it not work for a Mookie Betts? Take the pandemic out of it. Like, that's $300 million, and he probably won't get it. But at the same time, like, I can't call him stupid. Like, okay, the money that's thrown around in baseball, like, I don't know. He bet on himself. It didn't work out, but maybe things will turn around. I don't. What's going to happen to George Springer and all these other guys, too? Like, I'm just saying, for 1 year, he didn't take the $300 million. Maybe he didn't like it here, but I don't know if he's stupid. Maybe things will turn around and it works out for him. This year, it doesn't look like it.
Joe, do you think Bryce Harper would get 13 years on the market now?
Hell no. But okay, he bet on himself and he got it, though.
Okay, but when you say the pandemic hit, this is a reality of it now.
I understand. Yeah, it's just, you know, these guys, that's what they do, right? Their agents are telling them to do this. Was he going to fire his agent now? Oh, we knew a pandemic was. All I'm saying is, yeah, he didn't take $300 million, maybe because he didn't want to be in Boston. But I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, he takes two. He continues to get better, takes a two-year deal at big money. Like, maybe he'll get that money over time. Maybe he won't get the $300 million up front, but maybe in time he will. I don't know if I want to call it stupid because maybe he didn't want to be here.
He could have $350 to $400 million. He got greedy. He got greedy.
Yeah, I mean, I know Nomar got greedy and didn't work out for him, too. You know, I mean,
it's going to cost him $100 million. You mark my words. And as far as Bryce Harper, he got $25 million a year, Joe. He got $25 million a year when a lot of people thought he was going to get well in excess of 30. So now it ended up being $300 million because he got 13 years out of the Phillies, and good for him because it was guaranteed money. But the AAV was lower because he didn't play well. So again, he took a risk too, but he took a little bit more of a hit. He might have been able to get a better contract over a short period of time, which is a big Boris MO, by the way. Nope, we'll earn over the short term. We'll get back on the market and we'll make it again. That's really what Bryce Harper's plan was the first time through. But he had a bad year and his value went down. So he took a gamble. He also lost. I know that sounds crazy when a guy's making $330 million. But Bryce Harper also lost. And Mookie Betts is going to lose now. And I just have a hard time feeling bad for him when he had a $300 million offer on the table and he didn't want to take it. I mean, if you're a Red Sox fan, oh, you should be doing cartwheels over that piece of news. Brendan's in Watertown. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hey, Matt. You know, maybe this is something you can clarify for me, too. But I just feel like what we're missing here is that the entire industry is taking a haircut here. So even if he's holding out for more money, he may have had his deal restructured. Maybe everyone's going to get their deal restructured, you know. But maybe you would know more about if that's even possible.
Yeah, Brendan, the existing deals in pro sports aren't going to get changed. I'd be shocked if that happens. So typically what you're going to see here is things change going forward. But are you telling me that all of a sudden the Angels are going to go back to Mike Trout and say, well, we can't pay you $35.5 million anymore? Mike Trout's not going to go for that. And if the Angels want to do that, he's going to say, void my contract. I'll go back on the market, which he's not going to let him do anyway because he's going to get his money. Okay, that contract is guaranteed. So Trout's going to get it. Now, this year, again, there's going to be a negotiation on the part of the union, but going forward, if they play games and there are fans in the stands in the years to come, well, then Trout's going to get his money. I can guarantee you that. I said I wanted to play the Mad Dog sound, which is priceless. It really relates to the bargaining agreement between owners and players. We're going to do that. But first, when we come back, I want to follow up on this topic with John Tomasi of NBC Sports Boston. He's covered the Red Sox. And also, I want to follow up with him concerning our discussion last week regarding owners and players, who to blame. Last week, Tomasi blamed the owners. I'm wondering if he's changed his mind given the piece of information that came out this week. We'll check with him next.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Say it.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The CBA is up. It's up after the 2021 season. And anything you give the owners now can be used against you then. So if I'm a player, that's why I feel like the owner's offer was not made in good faith, because I do actually think they are trying to backdoor a salary cap onto baseball. And if the players accept it for even half of 1 year, then the owners are very much within their rights, because let's face it, this pandemic is still going to be with us after the 2021 season. I don't think that's a stretch of the imagination. So if you play 2 years like that, what's to stop owners from saying any deal that we make moving forward is contingent upon the salary cap?
That's why I think, John,
to use your word, that the owners started there because that's where they're trying to end up.
It's John Tomasi, NBC Sports Boston, last week. You know, listen to that clip. Murray, I get a little aroused listening to that.
Why?
Tomasi, he gets all fired up. He wouldn't let Felger talk. Oh. There aren't many people that can pull that on Felger. That's pretty good. Tomasi's shutting Felger off right at the door. Won't let him in. But we're going to bring him back because, honestly, I think he's wrong. here's John Tomasi. Now, you care to change your opinion after the news that has come out this week, Tomasi?
No, although I will say, listening to that clip, I did laugh. I'm like, wow, I'm talking right over Felger. Well, at least you have me back. Maybe it's because he's not here.
Okay, so look, the piece of news that came out this week, that Joel Sherman of the New York Post had an email exchange between lawyers from MLB, or a lawyer from MLB and a lawyer from the players' union, that certainly suggested that the players understood, the union understood at that time, that they struck a deal earlier in the spring that if they were to play in play games in stadiums with no fans, that there would have to be a renegotiation with regard to salaries in 2020. Do you believe that? Do you believe that report proves that?
No, I don't, honestly. I mean, first of all, that email was the recollection of an MLB lawyer. It's him recounting a conversation. It's a very one-sided document. I think it would be a little stronger if you had something in writing from the MLBPA. But that aside, to me, it's just more of the same of what we talked about before, of how the owners are fighting a PR war right now. And we're putting it all on the players. And you know what? The owners are smarter than the players. And they're fighting asymmetrical warfare, if you want to call it, because there's only 30 of them and it's easy for them to close ranks. There are, what, 900 players? And all you need is one idiot like Blake Snell to bitch about the Rona. And then you're halfway home to winning the PR battle without lifting a finger. And that's what I feel like those kind of stories are about. They're not about advancing a negotiation or anything like that. It's just see, and I don't see what purpose that serves.
So, John, you're under the impression, though, that so owners loved that then for Blake Snell, as bad as that was of a look, especially for the players. But I think the game as a whole, they saw him pop off and others say, like, you don't know, we're right behind what Blake said. And they're like, yes, yeah, you're playing right in our hands.
Oh, I believe I 1,000% wouldn't. If you were in owner's position, wouldn't you want players saying stupid stuff like that if you're trying to win a negotiation? And let's face it, in the history of professional sports, no league has had a more contentious relationship with its players historically than baseball. So as much as the players can't put their swords down, the owners can't either.
John, you believe that the owners have taken the stance they have because they're trying to put groundwork in place or framework in place for the next CBA, which is up at the end of 2021, right? I'm not putting words in your mouth by saying that.
No. And listen, that is my personal belief. I want to make that clear. I'm not basing that on inside reporting. This is just my belief and having been around the game for 25 years.
Okay. So I'll tell you what, and this is a big ask given what you believe, but let's assume that this is just for 1 year. Okay. Yep. That they're really interested in cutting a financial deal for just 1 year. And that anything that happens afterward with regard to the CBA is totally separate and will not be affected. Okay, so let's just put that to the side for a minute. In 2020, if the games are played with no fans, do you think the owners have a right to go back to the players and say, we got to talk about the salaries because we can't pay you an 82-game salary for 82 games if there were no fans in the stands?
So this is where the whole trust issue comes in. If let's say that there is some way that you can guarantee that this is only a one-year thing, if I'm the players, I still say, well, open your books, show us. Like, don't just tell us, because you have a history. You were the guys who colluded in the 80s and got busted for it. And the first thing you did after that was to lock the players out in 1990. You know, there were rumors of collusion in the J.D. Martinez offseason a couple years ago. So I don't know how trusting I would be. I want to know for sure. Show us what you're losing, because we're the ones who have already given up half our salaries. We're the ones who have to put our health on the line. And I know you guys poo-poo that, but I think that is a real thing. I wouldn't want to be out there if I was one of those guys. So I think, and the other thing too, I promise that I will acknowledge your scenario in a second. But before I get to that, the owners are already using this to get what they want. They've cut back on the draft. That has been a long-time goal of theirs. They're going to eliminate a bunch of minor league affiliates. That's been a goal of theirs. You better believe they're going to cut back on media restrictions. People I know don't care about that, but they're going to impose that, which I'm sure doesn't make them sad either. So I think all of these things lead into trust. Now, to answer your question, this is long-winded, to answer your question, if it's just a one-year thing and I'm the players, I say, you know what, we'll defer salary. We'll come up with some other way to do it. We're not going to cut our salaries.
Okay, so you say, look, Drummond, you say you don't trust the owners. I don't trust the owners either. I'm just telling you, I think in this particular case, I think they're right. So let me ask you, do you trust the players?
Trust the players to what? I mean, they're trying to get what they think they're worth. But they're not in the they're not in a position of power here in terms of, you know, they don't control the purse strings. So I'm not sure what you mean by, do I trust the players? Do I trust them to have the game's best interest in mind? I mean, the pace of play stuff would suggest no, because they can't see beyond their own face for that. But in terms of the financial stuff, I just come back to risk. They are the ones taking the risk, and I would be fighting for every penny if I were them.
Okay, so John, my answer is I don't trust either side. Okay, I don't trust the players. I think the players knew they were going to have to renegotiate. I think that that's a lie. So I think that they're trying to manipulate it now. And so this is when I say I don't trust the players, this is what I mean. And more than the other unions, the MLB union does have power. There is more power there. They've certainly shown much more of an ability to stay together and stay unified on these issues. So I think the MLB players union does have a say in this sort of stuff. Since you brought up the health thing, and to me, this is a huge point in these negotiations that people keep ignoring. The safety thing, the health and safety of the players, it is a major issue. I never said it wasn't a major issue. I'm not trying to poo-poo it. Significant risk. I asked a question today to about Jim Murray and Joe Murray. I said, I don't know if I were a player that I would play under these conditions. I don't know that I would. And I'm not going to blame anybody for not playing. But John, if that's what they believe, that there is a significant risk, then why are we talking about it at all? Why don't they just give up their contracts and say, that's it. A lot of us have made tons of money. We'll be fine. We'll see you next spring. Like to me, that's almost a separate issue. If they're afraid of playing, then what the hell are we talking about money for, John?
Oh, well, I think a lot of guys, it is primarily about health, and I'm sure there are guys who won't play. But at the same time, I think it's a little unfair to cast it as this black or white thing. It's sort of, it's risk management. And are there things that you would do for free or things that you wouldn't do for free that you might do if someone paid you enough? I think that's fair. It's sort of like a smaller version of the false choice or being presented as a country. Like, it's either the economy or the virus. Well, no, it can be a little of both. And I feel like it's okay for players to say, there is risk, I'm willing to take it, but you have to meet me halfway.
John, have you talked to any players about the protocols, the health and safety protocols that were put in front of them? The no spitting, the no high fives. The spitting specifically is what I'm curious about, because it's just like second nature for them. It's like breathing. So I'm wondering if you've spoke to any players that are like, yeah, no, there's certain things we're just not going to be able to comply with.
I have not talked to any players yet about any of this stuff.
John, the comment we played earlier today, too, was the one from Peter Gammons, which I'm sure you've heard. In fact, I think you wrote about it on your website, or someone did, that Gammons suggesting that Mookie Betts is going to take a major, major hit on the free agent market now, that for a guy who was looking for somewhere between $350 and $400 million, call it, and again, his last request to the Red Sox, by all accounts, 12 years, $420 million. Okay, and that was without even getting to free agency. So for a guy that was going to make that kind of money, Gammon's now saying that Betts is going to end up somewhere around $250. That was a guess by him. But do you believe that Mookie Betts is going to take a big hit if and when he hits the market?
Oh, without a doubt. I don't think there's any question whatsoever. And I have talked to multiple executives across the league just today about this subject, because I was curious what they think. And granted, they're on the management side, but you just hear the same thing over and over again. The money is not going to be there for anybody, especially these top of the market guys, if they're going to stick to $300, $350, $400, those kind of deals. That is not going to be there. And I would fully expect somebody like Mookie Betts not to take the $250 now, but to say, I will take a 1 or maybe a 2-year deal. I know you guys were talking about it earlier with the uncertainty over a new CBA. You take a shorter-term deal now, and you say, I'll go back into free agency at 29. You know, Anthony Rendon got 7 and 245 at age 29. Mookie could look at that and say, well, worst case, I know that's still sitting out there for me. I'm just going to try to make as much as I can AAV-wise the next couple of years and then hope that the economic landscape has changed.
Okay, so here's a huge hypothetical for you, John, because you were around the team a hell of a lot more than I was, because I wasn't there at all. So how do you like that? So, but let me ask you, if the reports were that the Red Sox offered Mookie last spring somewhere around $300 million for 10 years, okay, somewhere in that area, I My understanding was 290. Some people had 310. So let's just split the difference. Call it 300. I don't want to quibble over that. If they were to offer that now, let's just say he were still here, and they offered him 10 years and 300 right now in this climate, would he take it?
That is a great question. I would tend to say yes right now because
really?
Looking at how bleak the financial, well, are you basing it on coronavirus worlds or not? If you're talking about our current landscape, I think he'd be crazy not to take it. Now, I don't fault him one bit for not taking it, you know, a year ago at this time. That's a different story. But for right now, just given how uncertain everything is, I don't know how much better you're going to do than that.
Okay, so again, you think Mookie's reasons for leaving here were entirely financial-based then?
Oh, I think it was, maybe I'm misunderstanding your question. If you're asking me should he have taken it last year, my answer is no, 1,000 times no. And it's because he saw what Harper got, he saw what Machado got, he's better than both of those guys. So why would you sell yourself short? I wouldn't do that in my personal life. I'm sure you guys wouldn't. Why take orders of magnitude less than you're worth when you know you can get it out there? And I have never, despite what he has said publicly, I have never for a second thought that he particularly longed to be here. I think if the money was right, he would stay. But otherwise, he was more than happy to explore his options.
Okay, so that's what I'm asking you, because to me, I think he wanted out of Dodge. And I think if you offered him 10 and 300 right now, I think he'd still say no. I do.
Yeah,
I think Mookie
possible.
Betts is...
And I get what you're saying. It's entirely possible, just given how I don't think you look at guys like Paul Pierce or some of these guys who are Mr. Boston. I never got the sense that Mookie was that. Put it that way.
Oh, definitely not. No, we were having that discussion about Brady yesterday, too. But anyway, John, I've chewed up enough of your time. Thank you again for joining us.
You got it. Anytime.
Thanks, John.
Okay, again, John Tomasi, NBC Sports Boston. I always like talking to Tomasi. He's not afraid to get
mix it up with you.
Yeah, a little edgy. You know, he'll have an honest, spirited conversation with you. I mean, that's one of the things that I like. Joe Murray has your headlines, and when we come back, I know that Jim Murray has a thought about something that, speaking of Paul Pierce, it's something Paul Pierce said here in the last day or so that is rubbing on Murray a little bit. Here's Joe with the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill Russell built up the organization of Boston. Should get way more credit than we give him. And a lot of times he gets left out of the conversation. So in saying that, Kareem, look at the names that I said. Kareem, Magic, Jordan, Tim Duncan, Kobe, Bird. These guys are all top 10 players who would either help build up their organization or continue the tradition.
And Paul, the one thing that has ever
from LeBron, he went and put together a team in Miami.
I think there's
he came back to Cleveland to put that team together, and then he went to the Lakers, where a tradition has already been made, and we don't know. You know, that's still to be continued. So, in saying that, that's my argument.
Probably recognize the voice, Paul Pierce, longtime Celtics great, number up there in the Raptors, talking about LeBron James, whom Pierce does not regard as being one of the 5 greatest players in NBA history. I know this struck a chord with Jim Murray, and I will just say quickly, Murray, that the general belief on my part is, you know, at least in the discussions I've had with people on this subject, is that you always have to separate the big guys from the non-big guys, meaning guards and forwards from centers. We start getting into centers, we could argue that, you know, the top five players in the history game are all centers. I would still take Jordan number one. But if we're talking the best basketball player ever, usually we talk about guys with multiple skills, not the most dominant players.
Otherwise, it's like Russell, Chamberlain, you know, guys like that that you're putting up top.
Totally right. So Pierce says LeBron's not in the top five. Agree or disagree?
I disagree with Paul Pierce. I love Paul Pierce. I do. I love him. He's one of my favorite Celtics ever. One of my favorite Boston professional athletes ever. But this is just petty nonsense, which unfortunately is something that he and the rest of that guy, that team, that 08 team, they now are becoming best known for. Not the championship, their bitchiness.
Seriously.
They hate Ray Allen. They hate Dwayne Wade. They hate Rondo. They hate LeBron. It's one big haters ball, which typically I can appreciate, but this is getting stupid. And in the case of LeBron not being a top five player, it's just not true. It's not true. Again, if you're extrapolating the centers, LeBron's top five. Whether you think he's kind of a bitch and kind of soft, and I do think that he is kind of soft and probably should have another title, at least to his name. But just physical attributes alone, and then you just look at the numbers, like, he's top five. I don't care if you don't like him and you think he's too much of a diva, but he's a top five NBA player of all time. And even a former teammate, I don't know if you've seen this, Kendrick Perkins, has said, he's come out, you know, on Twitter, of course, because this is where everyone airs all their dirty laundry, and he said that, you know, the all-time list is personal for Pierce, and it stems from a beef that LeBron and he have had since LeBron's rookie year. And if nothing else, like, I still think that he and those Celtics, that the rest of the big three and that team from that era is mad about how that Eastern Conference final worked out in 2012. You know, like after game six and LeBron drops 45 and 15 on him, like those guys are just kind of bitter about it and they can't get over it. But I thought this was silly.
Oh, they can't stand each other. Pierce and LeBron can't stand each other. Garnett's another one. He and LeBron don't like each other. I mean, remember when LeBron beat the Celtics finally as a member of the Heat, they couldn't get off the floor fast enough, most of those guys. They didn't want anything to do with it. Joe Murray, what about you? Where do you put LeBron?
Yeah, I think he's a top five player, and people won't like this, but I think he's the greatest small forward in the NBA history. And that's even in Boston. I know there's another player who played small forward here. I think LeBron is arguably one of the, if not the greatest player, arguably top five, definitely, of all time, without a doubt. Kobe's in that conversation. I know Jim mentioned the centers, but they're there. The thing you left out about the Pierce conversation was a spitting incident that may have happened at a practice early on. And yes, LeBron does not like Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce does not like LeBron. But it's okay if you want to leave LeBron out of some things, right? I mean, everybody says he's the greatest this. They did this Jordan versus LeBron thing the other day and said that Jordan's a better passer than LeBron. That's laughable.
Right.
Like, that is completely laughable in itself. So, you know, it's fine if Paul Pierce wants to leave LeBron out of it because he played against him and thinks that he's not one of the top five players he played against. That's his opinion, and that's fine. But right now, like, LeBron James is still one of the top five players in the NBA. I don't think he's the best player in the NBA anymore. I think that's been changed. But does he make his players around him? Absolutely. And he has now changed the game. Like, you want to team up with other players to continue to get better because LeBron did that. I know that technically the Celtics started it, but LeBron wants people to play around him, and people want to play with LeBron. And isn't that what's kind of happened with, I don't know, Tom Brady and other guys in the last couple of years? So, the way I look at it, to leave LeBron out of a top five, it's just petty.
Well, definitely. Look, I mean, there's a lot of things about LeBron that drive me bananas. Oh, God, the guy's an egomaniac and complete pain in the ass, self-important. And if you want to talk about the business of the sport, LeBron, to me, has leveraged teams like no guy in the history of the game. He's changed the business of basketball maybe more than any other guy out there. Now, I don't put him second. A lot of people put him second. I don't. I put Magic second. Because Magic, to me, could do basically all the things LeBron does. He's wasn't quite as athletic as LeBron. LeBron's a ridiculous athlete. But Magic, oh, he could handle the ball, he could pass, he could score, he could rebound, all of it.
And he was a killer. All of it. You know, he was a kid. And those, that intangible, I give to those older guys, too. You know, LeBron, I think, lacks that.
But if you were to ask me who's a better basketball player, and I didn't say winner, basketball player, LeBron over Kobe? LeBron over Bird? LeBron can basically do it all. Okay, let's just quickly squeeze in. Oh, he just dropped. Had a caller there. He just dropped, so I'm not going to take that call. But the idea, you know, Pierce's pettiness here, oh, please. Like, if we're going to get that petty and that ridiculous about it, you can't even have the discussion with people like that. 617-779-0985 is your number. A couple of interesting items I saw on Twitter and elsewhere today about the kind of masks that people are wearing during this pandemic, which made me think of Jim Murray. I'll explain when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass. It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let me tell you the truth about Harvey Dent. From the words of Gotham's police commissioner, James Gordon, the Batman didn't murder Harvey Dent. He saved my boy. Then took the blame for Harvey's appalling crimes so that I could, to my shame, build a lie around this fallen idol.
If you don't know who that is, I don't blame you. Many of you do know who it is.
It's Tom Hardy, it's Bane.
Go ahead, Murray, go.
Well, no, set up the story first for the people, and then I'll dance for the audience, especially Chris Casper, who loves that I do this now 7-year-old impression.
Okay, so one of the stories I saw today was that, face masks are obviously becoming the rage now all over the place. People are getting creative and stylish. As we joke with Gasper, he certainly, can... Saks Fifth Avenue.
Spending $300 on a Dolce & Gabbana mask.
Exactly. Yeah, Hugo Boss.
Safe and fashionable.
Yeah. Yeah, Gasper's got to have the best ones. So, for example, I know the Bruins today released a statement indicating they are selling black and gold face masks, the proceeds from which will go to the Greater Boston Food Bank. A while back, I had a discussion with someone here at the station about manufacturing 98.5 face masks and giving the money to charity, that sort of thing. Well, I came across a story that one of the most popular face masks out there right now is the one worn by the character Bane in Batman. Now, I'm not a huge Batman follower, but I know that Bane is one of the many villains or archenemies of Batman. Murray, it immediately made me think of Jim Murray, who does apparently what is a killer impression of Bane. So again, we played Bane. Just coming back from break there, I will ask Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy, just play a little of it. Just a little. And then we're going to have Murray follow it up and see how much they sound alike.
Let me tell you the truth about Harvey Dent. From the words of Gotham's police commissioner.
All these Karens and busybodies never cared who I was until I put on the mask. Now I can be safe from the pandemic as well as the League of Shadows. A mask doesn't have to be the bane of your existence. Now you can buy one for $20. In fact, bored moms are knitting them. You can find them on Pinterest. Oh, so you think social distance is your ally? But you merely adopted this 6-foot spacing. I was born in it, molded by it. I didn't social distance until I was already a man. By then, it was only an inconvenience. The shadows betray you because they belong to me, Maz. Buy the mask. You can find them on Pinterest for $20.
it's a go-to for the old kid here.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I think it is so good. It is so good. Of all the ones you do, Murray, that might be the best one. We even get a laugh out of Joe Murray. Murray, what'd you think?
That was good. Very good.
Thank you, Joe.
I'd rock the Bane mask if I had one.
Yeah, I think they're apparently tough to find, too. But, yes, you can find them from moms, bored moms, and nanas that are knitting them. You can find them on Pinterest. They're selling out amid the pandemic. So I guess if you're going to have to go outside or go shopping and wear the mask, why not look like one of the great Batman villains of all time, Bane from The Dark Knight Rises.
So what is different about the Bane mask versus a typical, surgical-style mask? Does it actually cover part of your eyes, too?
No. So you never saw the movie?
No. I know who Bane is, but I never saw the movie with him in it.
So the one, I mean, the one that you can buy that they're saying the people are actually, you know, part of it, like it goes over almost like a mohawk, like over the top of your head, and then it comes down in between your eyes over the nose, and it's, you know,
it covers your nose and mouth, Beth. So the way that you look, it's just you emote with your eyes.
So the mask in the movie, and in terms of the comic book, it helps keep him alive. Of course, it's the masks now. They're just trying to keep you and others safe.
Oh, my gosh. That is so... Murray, it might be your best one, pal. Really, that is... That's just really one of the... my God, I love that. I love Bane so much. I love Murray's Bane. David is in a car on the all-time NBA greats. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Tony, I'm wondering if you're smoking the same thing Jim does, because there's no way LeBron James is the greatest, you know, top 10 player of all time. If you could... I think a lot of the misconception comes with the era of basketball. LeBron James plays with no heart. Is he athletic? Is he one of the greatest athletes that we've seen in the league? Sure, I'll give him that. And I think he's entertaining to watch as a player. But if you, how could you put Larry Bird ahead of him? How could you put Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Will Chamberlain, obviously Jordan? You can't put these guys ahead of LeBron James. If you put any one of those guys in the situation that LeBron James had, they would excel. I would actually relate LeBron James closer to Scottie Pippen. I'm going to hang up and...
Oh, David, that's asinine. That's asinine. And you say put LeBron James ahead of those guys.
LeBron's way tougher to begin with.
For a little while.
Say whatever you want about LeBron. Scottie Pippen was a sidecar, right?
Yeah, he really was.
He was a great player. Absolutely great player, but was a sidecar. And when anything was on the line, he didn't want the basketball or his back tightened up. He wasn't tough enough like LeBron James. I'm sorry.
Right, to Joe's point, when he had the opportunity to be the man, he tapped out. You know, that whole thing with Kukoc there in that series that was against the Knicks that they show you in The Last Dance from a few weeks back. Like, he was a sidecar. He was the consummate sidecar, one of the greats of all time, but he was never a one. And more than anything else, like, I'm sorry, like, I was kind of with the caller for a time, but that was before Game 6 of the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals. After that game, the narrative changed on LeBron James, and there's been other times where he's shown, like, yeah, there's still some softness there, but it changed after that, and after the chase-down block in Game 7 of the Finals against Golden State in 2016, like, he comes back from 3-1 with that team. I'm sorry, like, you can't look at LeBron as, like, a straight-up, like, you can't equate him to Scottie Pippen, I'm sorry.
Oh, the Scottie Pippen, that's an insult. Do you realize that after Jordan retired, Scottie Pippen played like 5 more years and never averaged more than 14 points a game?
Yeah, and made way more money than he did with the Bulls.
Oh, my gosh. Scottie Pippen, to me, is one of the more overrated players in NBA history. And I'm not telling you he sucked. I think Scottie Pippen was a transition player, purely. I mean, a good one, but that's what he was. In a half-court game, borderline useless, if you ask me. Quickly, Fred is in Cranston on the same topic. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, I just want to weigh in on Bron. Like, Bron is great. Maybe not one of the top five players, but definitely one of the top five GMs put together some of the teams that he put together.
Okay, so fair point, Fred. He was good. He was a good architect and certainly good at running running teams. I think that, yeah, I don't know that LeBron's a good leader. I think Kyrie learned how to lead from LeBron, and LeBron should have gotten more out of his talent than he did. He's been to, what, 9 finals? Is that what it is? 3-6 in the finals?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's 8 or 9. He's been to a ton of finals. He's been the best player in the league for a long time. You'll never hear me dismiss his ability. He should have won more. I would say overall he's an underachiever. And but in terms of making other players better, LeBron's better than Kobe. LeBron's a bit better at making his teammates better than Kobe Bryant was. That one to me is not all that close. Mm. I think LeBron's one of the great passers in the history of the league. Okay, really?
I don't know. The Kobe LeBron thing will still be on the table, I think. Bryant was the best shot maker in basketball for years. LeBron's not that guy. He's just his body alone in size just makes him such a tough matchup. Where Kobe literally could score consistently.
Okay, speaking of winners. There's more developments on Tom Brady. More developments on Tom Brady, who apparently, I don't want to say it's a documentary, but will be the subject of a new series, if you have not heard this, starting, which will air sometime in 2021, if I'm not mistaken. The trailer for which was actually released today. We'll play that for you and then ask a very significant question as it pertains to Tom Brady. When we come back, Joe Murray's got your headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.